You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel.
Hi, I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
Good afternoon. It's a few minutes after 5, and I'll be here with the sports guys, although right now it's only one of us, me. But wanted to tell you a little bit about the weather, especially people who are interested in sports, because this looks like a great weekend on Sunday, high of about 75 degrees and sunny. It'll be a great day to get out there and do all the activities. I live near Rhine Valley Reservoir, and I know there'll be a lot of people out with boats, and probably some of them, many of them, it'll be the first weekend they're out. Remember, water is very cold, so if you're a boater, I know you know enough to wear a life preserver, especially at Rhine Valley, because get out in the middle and dump over, and you're not going to be able to swim back, and you need that life preserver until somebody can come and pick you up, not only there, of course. So that's not a good way to start a program, is it? But be careful out there. So tomorrow there is a slight chance, about a 20% chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow it's about 70 degrees. It's up to 75 for a high on Sunday. And Monday could be up to 78 degrees. And again, a beautiful sunny day. No rain predicted for the next 3 nights. And so that's, you know, we should have good weather. We're starting to have summer weather. I had another oil delivery today. So let's hope I don't see my oil guy until, September. And wouldn't it be nice if it was October? But in any event, this is the weather, and we'll be back after just a couple more commercials, hoping that the guys will get here so we can talk about the draft. But that's really going to be the topic of conversation today, especially if you have to put up with me as the only sports guy today. Bill has called in, and he got stuck in traffic. I know John is not going to be here because he had to go to a meeting, and hopefully Ken will be here shortly. Otherwise, I will be here, and you'll hear what I have to say about the draft.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Well, good afternoon. Program the Sports Guys, and today it's Pat Smits, and hopefully Ken and Bill will be here. But if not, you're going to be having to put up with me and putting up with discussion of the draft. So anyone who's been under a bushel basket probably has not heard about one of the greatest non-sporting events in sports. And what am I talking about? Of course I'm talking about the NFL draft. It seems to get bigger every year. This year, for the first time in, maybe 50 years, it's in Chicago. And it is amazing. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of people are congregating in Chicago. There's all kinds of hoopla. And in fact, I guess some of us who are sports fans, who are football fans, would say, hey, you can keep the Olympics and the closing pageantry. Of course, there's also the Tournament of Roses that, is important to me, but probably most sports people would say, hey, where else and what other sport could you put in competition with the Kentucky Derby and have hundreds of thousands of people watching it? So that I guess some people would even say you can keep the NCAA basketball selection show, compared to this, it would be very interesting to see how many fans. So actually, I think most people, if not all, would agree with me that the greatest non-sports spectacular in all of sports is the NFL draft. And it's, part coronation. It's a three-day testament to America's obsession with football. And involves, of course, no football. But it really is, being broadcast. And it's more fun every year. Because there is the mock draft, there is the speculation from everybody and anyone, and it's so compelling that they can do it the same weekend as a Kentucky Derby, the same weekend as the biggest boxing match of the year, and of course a slate of NBA and NHL playoff games, full baseball schedule, and also, hopefully, this gorgeous weather that can, make all of us want to go outside. But that's it. And this is probably one of the weekends in the year, one of the times of the year that we're all glad that we can just tape certain events so we can go back and watch them all. And I know that I was not able to watch the entire draft last night because, of course, today is May 1st, and the draft started last night at 8 o'clock. I'm probably not the only one out there that, fell asleep watching it. Again, tonight, Friday night, it starts at 7 p.m. So I'm sure that not everyone will agree with what I have to say about it, but it certainly is for any football player and football fan. It's very interesting to watch. And it's interesting then to, take note at some of these players who are the top drafts, and we'll see what's happened to them in 4 or 5 years. And there are a couple things that I want to talk about that I think are some of the most interesting of this draft. And one that I think is, of course, I'm going to talk about the Packers, and they were number 30, and they drafted Demarius Randall. He's a defensive back, and he's from ASU. But one of the more important or one of the more interesting things to me is the Broncos and their draft choice and the fact that they traded up for the draft choice. But I guess no one would be surprised that the first pick was Jameis Winston, and it was kind of fun to watch him. He stayed home with his family and watched with his family, and it was kind of interesting to see that. Of course, those of us who have followed the draft know what happened all those years ago in 2005 with Aaron Rodgers, and what a disaster for him to be sitting in the green room and getting passed by over and over and over again. So that's not happening this year with two of the quarterbacks that everybody thought would go 1 and 2, although with Marcus Mariota there was a real question of whether or not Tennessee would trade or whether some other team would trade for him, including the Eagles and including the Jets. But in any event, Jameis Winston, quarterback, went number one, and that was pretty much expected. The draft likes him. They really loved him, actually, although there was questions whether or not he was the best, and there were lots of comparisons between Winston and Mariota. So we know that Winston, who played for Florida, is going to stay in Florida. He'll be with Tampa Bay, and of course, his draft. One of the things about him is, his strengths are, of course, are arm, his size, his passing mechanics, and of course, his competitiveness. And of course, the question is whether or not he will be a leader right off the. As he starts, because does he have the maturity that it takes. And of course, you know, that's going to be something that we'll have to see. But a lot of people are saying is that, like a famous politician, he's all but buried beneath mountains of opinion, innuendo, racial politics, class politics, and other sociocultural debris that will cling to him forever, unless he wins the next Super Bowl, or some people would say the next three Super Bowls. And of course, all that baggage bears only a little, and it really has no relevance upon whether he can successfully throw the football and meet society's decency minimums. And that's one of the other things that is being written. I think most people, however, think he's a great football player, and everyone wants to grade him on that, whether or not he's an ace or whether he'll fail. If he's not an ace, he means to many people that he's going to fail. And bringing up character issues, of course, is one way to demonize him, and especially for people who like that one size fits all character blankets, and they want to throw that over everyone, from a guy who yells at his coach to one of the most perfect people around. And, of course, Winston's supporters cry foul, and perhaps rightfully. And some would say that the allegations that he's immature, immature but willing to grow, and others would string rationalizations and legal technicalities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, bring up the interceptions, and before long, some detractors claiming that Winston can't throw 10 yards downfield without cramming the ball into a defender's, head. Now, the supporters of him, of course, would race to the rescue again and explain away some of those 18 interceptions in 2014. And, of course, it's going to be a pro-style offense, and I'm going to play a commercial while I pick up this phone and see who's on.
Jewish Family Service of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties is in need of car donations to help fund their programs and services. For over 30 years, JFS, a nonprofit, non-sectarian social service agency, has been providing counseling and other supports to those living and working in the Tri-County area. Skilled JFS staff and volunteers help families and individuals, young or old, rich or poor, meet the emotional and practical challenges faced by those struggling with life's difficulties. Whether coping with relationship issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, illness, loss, work-related problems, or other crises, JFS is here to help provide emotional support and counseling and other tangible assistance to those in need. Funds received from car donations go directly to cover the cost of providing counseling to children and families, social work home visits to isolated seniors, and career counseling to those recently unemployed. It's easy to donate. Just call 877-JFS-4CAR or 877-537-4227 and speak with a vehicle donation representative. For more information about JFS, please visit their website at www.jewishfamilysvc.org. Jewish Family Service of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties is in need of car donations to help fund their programs and services. For over 30 years, JFS, a nonprofit, non-sectarian social service agency, has been providing counseling and other supports to those living and working in the Tri-County area. Skilled JFS staff and volunteers help families and individuals, young or old, rich or poor, meet the emotional and practical challenges faced by those struggling with life's difficulties. whether coping with relationship issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, illness, loss, work-related problems, or other crises, JFS is here to help provide emotional support and counseling and other tangible assistance to those in need. Funds received from car donations go directly to cover the cost of providing counseling to children and families, social work home visits to isolated seniors, and career counseling to those recently unemployed. It's easy to donate. Just call 877-JFS-4CAR or 877-537-4227 and speak with a vehicle donation representative. For more information about JFS, please visit their website at www.jewishfamilysvc.org.
Well, I'm back on the air. I'm trying to get John Manfreda on. He's on the phone.
I am back.
And John, are you on?
Yes, can you hear me?
Good. Yes, I can. Let me put the volume up. And
Yes, this is John Manfreda, your roving sports guy. Not in Las Vegas, but I am in Atlantic City. And I can tell you, Pat, that things are buzzing down here.
So what's happening in Atlantic City?
I'm in Harrah's Casino Resort, and on the 26th floor, and very, very, very nice rooms. Everything's nice down here, and the city is really buzzing. Of course, it is Friday, but you have the NFL draft, you have Yankees, Red Sox, Kentucky Derby. There's a lot going on, and everybody's buzzing.
Yeah, but I think most of the buzzing has to be about the NFL draft, don't you think?
I think so, because you have certainly Giants and fans here, and you have some sad sack Philadelphia Eagle fans walking around saying, but I thought Chip Kelly was the smartest guy in the room. And everybody else is shaking their head.
Why? And, you don't think that was a good pick?
Here was the deal. They put all their eggs in one basket. They made the deal with St. Louis to acquire Sam Bradford, okay, in which they overpaid for him. They gave Foles and a second-round pick, and I think another pick as well next year. Maybe the second-round pick is next year, I'm not sure. Plus, they took on, for the $30 million salary, whereas Nick Foles is only $800,000, so they lost $20 in cap space in doing that. So, but the whole Bradford was to package him with picks and players to move up to number two. So he approached C, who is led by Ken Wisenhunt, a very bright young coach who did wonders in Arizona, really got them on the map and then moved on. But basically they made a pitch to Tennessee, but they failed to plan. They failed to create a plan B. In other words, they put a package together that Tennessee rejected, and they had nowhere to go because they had to stick with Bradford, and they picked fifth. So there were about 10 or 12 blue-chip prospects in this draft that they didn't get any of them. Now, the guy they did get, the wide receiver from USC, is pretty easy. He's pretty good receiver.
Yeah, actually, I really think that that was a great pick, Nelson Aguilar.
It was a very good pick for 19, but you see, it's a very deep draft in the first round. Even New England at 32 picked a defensive lineman that they said is, in other years would have been a high first-round pick. This was the first round that really none of the teams made any big mistakes. The only mistake they're talking about is Washington picking at number five, where they took an offensive guard, actually the guy Scherf from Iowa, who was the guy the Giants wanted at number nine. But they took him at five, which was probably too hard because they left Leonard Williams on the board, and he went to the Jets at six. And many people feel Leonard Williams is the most important player in the draft, that when all was said and done 10 years from now, this this guy's going to be looked at as, you know, an absolute all-pro, great defensive lineman, and was way above Scherf in value, but the Redskins picked for need and went defensive line. And then Jets, with the beneficiary, they, at six, made a great selection, possibly getting the best player in the draft.
Yeah, I thought he was a great player. Let me ask you something, though, because this is something that people are interested in, and they're really not talking much about it, and that is, how do these rookie contracts work? In other words, what do you know about that? I know you know everything about it, but one of the things that I don't know is, does that have any impact, and how do they negotiate contracts? In other words, how do the first three, four, five players, what kinds of money do they get paid compared to people, you know, lower in the first draft or second or third draft?
Well, I know the union has for years battled with the owners over that, and they had some common ground because, quite frankly, from the union's perspective, you know, they didn't like some of these young players coming in who have never taken a snap before, making you know, $100 million, because that takes away from the cap room to pay the other players. So they basically put a rookie salary cap in place. However, the signing bonus is still available. So the players basically get the same deal, which I don't remember what that base is. It might be something like $2 million, something like that. But the signing bonus, the teams do have flexibility to adjust that, because obviously a top first-round pick is going to get a significant signing bonus, whereas maybe a fifth or sixth or seventh-round pick wouldn't get that.
And as I understand it, the salary bonus is not part of the cap for the team. Am I right?
I think most of it is. It's rated. I believe they prorate it. So, I mean, it's a very complicated process. There's a lot of lawyers, Pat, who know a lot about this stuff, who do it every day. It's an extremely complicated, both factually and legally, in how these contracts work. But yes, I believe you're correct that there's a lot of relief available, so you don't take the entire hit against the cap in that first year.
Well, they wouldn't be able to, and I thought that was something that had actually changed more recently. And that's one of the reasons.
Yes, I think they have adjusted that. Plus, the cap is increasing every year, although not by that much. But I think it took a big jump a couple years ago. But I think it's well under $100 million. So I think when they started the cap business, it was like $50 or $60 million, and it's been going up to $5 million a year.
Well, let me ask you, what happens if a player, you know, what happens if he doesn't get the signing bonus that he wants? I mean, I guess I really don't understand.
He could not report.
And that's what he has to do, right? He would have to sit out a year unless they traded him. And, of course, we all remember.
We've seen that before.
Well, we saw it with Eli, that he was traded. You know,
that was a trade. That wasn't about being. Yeah, he said he didn't want to play for San Diego. Diego knew the Giants wanted him, and they made that.
But they picked him. But remember, in 2005, San Diego picked him and then traded him to New York.
Well, they traded him 15 minutes later. I mean,
when
they made the pick, that deal was done. So the Giants knew when he got picked that they were going to get him because they already had made the deal with San Diego. The first pick that they could get a lot of value. So they said, okay, somebody made us an offer. So the Giants said, we want Manning, pick him first. We'll give you our first round pick, plus I think they gave him two other picks. So it was a great deal for San Diego, and then they wound up getting the guy they wanted, which was Phillip Rivers. Now, he hasn't won two Super Bowls like Eli has, but he said that really good quarterback, and they got two other very good players out of the deal.
Well, you know, it was the most amazing to me this year was the Broncos and how they traded up to get Shane Ray. And, you know, even though, you know, he's had problems, he's going to be in the substance abuse program for 2 years, they traded with Detroit and gave up, as I recall, a 28th round pick.
It was the 28th pick in the first round.
Right, in the first round. And then 143. And then in 2016, they gave a fifth round pick and also traded Manny Ramirez. I mean, they must really have wanted Shane Ray.
Yeah, they got a lot, and that's kind of what happens. That's why you don't see as many blockbuster trades anymore. What we all thought was going to happen, and what Cal Chip Kelly thought was going to happen, was that he was going to trade, you know, his 20th pick, plus they were going to trade next year's pick and a couple other picks and two players. They thought they had made Tennessee for they couldn't refuse. But Tennessee, no, they wanted one more first. But Tennessee basically wanted three first-round picks and two players. And that was just too, the Eagles determined that was just too much to give up. And it probably was. On the other hand, they're now stuck with Bradford, who has only a one-year contract. He becomes a free agent. So they've either got to pay him big time to stay next year, if he has a good year, or he'll go elsewhere. He's back in the free market. And they're left with Mark Sanchez, Tim Tebow, and Matt Barkley on their quarterback roster. I mean, it was a completely bad decision because there was no fallback. See, what they thought was going to happen, in fact, a week or so ago, the mail had it, was too much. They thought they were going to box Tennessee in, and they said, okay, we'll talk to Tampa. And but they could deal with Tampa and leave Tennessee in the second spot and force them to take Mariota. But as it turned out, Tampa wasn't dealing. They wanted Jameis Winston. And it turned out that Tennessee wanted Mariota. So it was a complete miscalculation on the Eagles' part. And when you say Eagles now, it's really Cal Chip Kelly because it's the GM. And he left himself no out. Once Tennessee sent him down, he had nowhere to go. So we stuck taking the 20th player, which you're right is not a bad player, decent receiver. He was second or third receiver taken. I can't remember.
I think he was the second, but I may be wrong.
But the first guy that was taken, the Alabama wide receiver, is like way. He was like the pick or something. I think he went to Oakland, and he was way far in advance. This guy fell to 20. Pretty good value pick, but the point is that Eagles really needed to land in the top 10 to get a blue chip prospect, and they didn't do it because they basically just replaced Macklin, who they let go because he wanted one, I think, an extra million to pay it, and he wound up losing him. So, or they wound up losing him, and now they replaced him with the pick. Now they're kind of back where they started, and with the quarterback position. They're kind of in trouble with what Bradford's health is going to be.
Well, that, you know, I think you're right. So what did you think about the Giants pick?
Well, I know they wanted Scherf, and at number 9, that would have been an appropriate pick. The Redskins shocked everybody by taking him number 5, which for all the experts agree that while Scherf is a great player, they passed up on Leonard Williams, who went to the Jets with the in seconds later after the next pick. I mean, the Jets could not believe their eyes when Leonard was still on the board at the 6th pick. I mean, they knew the first 3 teams weren't going to take him, but they thought the 4th and 5th picks would take him, and they thought for sure Washington would take him, and they were delighted when they took Scherf that left Leonard them. So they got possibly the biggest impact player in the draft, besides possibly Jameis Winston. The Giants, on the other hand, they got a very solid guy. He's very big, like 6'7", 325, a really huge offensive lineman that they feel is, you know, all-pro caliber for the next 10 years. They definitely did well with the pick. And you know, it remains to be seen. You know, they really need defensive help. And I expect the Giants, with their remaining 5 or 6 picks, to go virtually all defense now. They may take another receiver to complement you know, the guys they have, But they've already got a very strong passing attack. I think they've got to go defense. They need a safety. They need at least one, if not two, linebackers. And so they got to hope to hit, like all the teams do, especially Philadelphia. They have to hit big in the second, third round. I think Philly has a few extra picks. I think they've got 9 picks total. So the Eagles could come out of this draft in pretty good shape if their second and third picks are good and can contribute. It'll actually be a successful draft. Another team that I thought did well was the Packers. They didn't draft me. They drafted best player available. And,
yep. And they usually do.
Yep.
With Demarius. But they needed a defensive back, too. I mean, the Packers needed a defensive back. And, Williams was good for a long time, but he's no longer there. So they really needed a defensive back. Although I have to tell you, of course, he wasn't available. And I would say the Packers really didn't need him. But I would have loved to have seen Melvin Gordon from Wisconsin go to the Packers. I mean, I know he's going to San Diego. He's picked 15th, excuse me. But I just really, really liked him. And
he was one of the backs in the draft, if not the best. And I think he got picked at number 10 right after the Giants.
No, he was actually picked at 15.
Okay.
And he was not the first running back picked.
There was another back picked at 10. I can't remember who it was. Yeah, you're right. And then he was the second back taken.
Yeah, but I thought, actually the Todd Gurley was the first running back from Georgia.
That's the guy, yeah.
And, I was really surprised. And maybe it's just because I watched Gordon all year play for the Packers, and he was so great. And guess what? We have Bill Wolfson has just joined us. And, of course, Bill, you know what we're talking about. And
it's football again,
yeah,
isn't it?
And, of course.
Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon, John. And what other sport could there be in this country besides football?
And you should just see what John had to say about Chip Kelly and, what happened to your Philadelphia.
The smartest guy in the room or the guy who thinks he's the smartest guy in the room?
Well, you know something? I watched the first couple rounds of the draft because I was as excited as everybody else was.
And sure.
When I saw Tennessee take Mariotas, and I figured it was going to be just the same old, guys. So, it fascinates me because I think the NFL is brilliant the way they market the draft. They keep people thinking about football whenever, even if there's no football season going on. And the first time they're going to report to for practice isn't until what, mid July, guys?
They actually have a rookie camp pretty soon, like next week.
Yeah, and many of the rookies go right away. I mean, Mariota was going to fly to Tennessee,
he's already on his way.
Right?
Yeah,
and because they go in early to learn the playbook. And I guess the question still with Mariota is whether or not they will trade him, whether or not
that is true. There is still some speculation that, in his never-ending quest to add ducks to the roster, that Cowchip Kelly is trying to still package more players and picks to try to acquire him. And the Titans have said absolutely not. This is a guy they're going to build around. They know it's going to take a few years. They're not trading the pick. They didn't trade the pick, and they're not going to trade the player. And, you never know. But supposedly, Bill, the Eagles offered essentially the first-round draft picks plus 2 players. And that wasn't enough. So, and a lot of people have come out and said Tennessee was very foolish not to take the deal because they would have rebuilt a third of their team. With those high picks. But see, that was the problem. The Eagles really don't – they were picking 20th, and everybody knows that the first 10 picks, maybe 11, the real blue chippers. And the Eagles, what they needed to do – and this is what amazed me, and I've been saying this for weeks. Kelly thought he was going to hoodwink Cleveland. What he wanted to do was dump Sam Bradford and his $13 million contract on the Browns. He was going to take back He thought they were going to give him two first-round draft picks for Bradford and the Eagles' 20th pick. So then the Eagles would have had two first-round picks, and then they were going to package those two picks with, I think, a couple of their better players and throw that to Tennessee. The problem was the Cleveland didn't bite. Cleveland said, we're not giving up our two. They did the right thing, and they actually got two good players on the first round. Cleveland held to its guns, did a good thing. So when the Eagles couldn't come up with the Tennessee Titans price for the second pick, they were stuck with the 12th pick and Sam Bradford. So I have no idea why Kelly did not have a backup plan, because once the second pick went off, the speculation was, oh, Kelly's going to now trade with somebody else to get into the top 10 to grab one of those great players, and they did nothing. And it's really a shame, because they really, really had a very deep blue-chip draft in the high first round.
Well, the Eagles still picked a good wide receiver in...
they got a very good player at number 20.
Nelson Aguilar, he's a good wide receiver. They can certainly use more speed, having dealt away a couple of good wide receivers already. So I think this is a guy who they'll build for the future with, and I'm not at all disappointed with the Eagles. The pick that impressed me the most was the Jets.
That was Washington's mistake. They picked Scherf at 5, who's a very good player. The Giants wanted him at 9. He was their first player.
That's right.
But they've taken him at 5 and giving up Leonard Williams. The Jets took about 15 seconds to snap him up. Williams could be the best player in the draft.
Wouldn't surprise me. And, you know, getting back to the Eagles, I think so much of this was hype, and so much of this was people feeding the media, almost like disinformation. I said to myself, where do they get this information from? You know, it's one thing for Chip Kelly to look to make a deal, or for some other player, director of player personnel, to look to make a deal and try to move up in the draft. We all understand that. But Kelly also called it the silly season, football silly season.
Yeah, but I think come on, let's face it.
He was the one that created a lot of that.
And didn't he actually... Am I wrong, or did he actually take Mariota down to Florida somewhere and take another look at him?
Supposedly that was the rumor. I don't think it was ever confirmed, but you're right, Pat.
There was a rumor about that, but look at what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with rumors. We're dealing with people saying we're not going to blow up our team just to get one guy who may or may not make it. We've heard all kinds of things coming out of Philadelphia and elsewhere. The beauty of all of this is it's kept us talking about nothing but for weeks and weeks, which I think is really very clever on the part of the NFL, and certainly very clever on the part of the Eagles.
Well, and certainly with the NFL, as I mentioned before, either of you were on, this weekend, remember, we have the Kentucky Derby. We have one of the best boxing matches in how many years?
Oh,
many,
decades.
Many years.
And,
that could be a great match.
You know, and
Red Sox.
And we have, NFL. We have NBA. I'm sorry, NBA and NHL.
And we have Washington Capitals beating up on the New York Rangers.
Oh, and in the last minute, the last second.
And we have Baltimore. And we have Baltimore playing to an empty stadium, which is another thing. But I want to ask both of you one thing. And many people think that Mariota was actually a better quarterback than Winston. Why do you think Winston was selected first by Tampa? What did he have that Tampa would prefer him over Mariota?
I wondered about that myself. John, what do you think?
Well, it's a great question. As I understand it, is that plain and simple, Winston played in a more pro-set offense that is the same that Tampa uses, whereas Mariota played at Oregon in a spread offense that Tampa does not use. So at 50% of it, I think, was just the program they were coming out of. And I also think a big piece of it is that I think Winston was 26-1. The guy's a big man. He reminds people of Roethlisberger. He extends the play. Tough to bring down. You know, I got to be honest with you, Bill, from an Eagles perspective, it's a good thing Tennessee didn't pull the trigger. If they had gotten Mariota and given up all those players, I think Mariota will be a nice quarterback. He is not Andrew Luck. He is not Tom Brady. He's probably not even Eli Manning, okay? I think Mariota's a nice quarterback. He's got great athleticism. He's fast, okay? But this is a league, you know, look at the playoffs. Who were the teams who got there? They all had drop-back quarterbacks. The only exception, you might say, is Seattle with their quarterback. But in their system, he can run around, but he can also be a drop-back quarterback, too. So I think Tampa is trying to rebuild, you know, from the ground up, and they went the pro set quarterback who has experience in that system.
Well, they play in a pro set, and that's fine. But more importantly, Tampa had a catastrophic season. They think that Jameis Wilson is going to be a better fit for them, and they're going to put him in right away. He's somebody who can make a difference for them very quickly, whereas Mariota, I think, may need a year or two of seasoning.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think that's everything that Tampa had. Tampa is owned by the Glazer family. They also own Manchester United. They've got money to burn. They are the kinds of people who have put up with Tampa's losing ways for a while. They bought the team with the idea that they were going to turn it into a winner, and so far that hasn't really been productive. What I hear from friends and from my brother who lives in the Tampa area is they're happy to get him. They think he'll be an impact player right away. And, you know, when you have a first or second round pick, that means you've had a really bad season.
Yeah, it certainly does. And you know, nobody, honestly, let's think about it. Nobody should want a first or second or third round pick, right?
Well,
you mean the first pick in the first round? Yeah.
No, I meant the first.
Nobody wants to finish on the bottom of the pile, but getting that pick and getting a quarterback who already has the tools that fit into their offense is just the beginning of their rebuilding process. Let's not forget, Tampa won a Super Bowl against Philadelphia not 10 years ago. And now maybe a little longer. Was it 2002 or 2003, John?
Well, actually, they beat the Eagles in the NFC Championship game.
That's it.
But that was more special teams and just a matchup for the Eagles. Brad Johnson had a great game.
That's right.
And the Tampa defense smothered McNabb.
That's right. They certainly did. That was an excellent game.
I think that was 2003.
2003
and then they lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl in 2004.
That's right. But Tampa, since then, has not been back to the big dance.
No, they went right downhill. If they had a couple of good years, and they peaked, won a Super Bowl, and then since then gone down a notch every year for 10 years.
Yeah, and remember, it's a hot sports area. Tampa has, you know, Tampa, when it comes to football, has to compete with all the good Florida football schools. They have another point too.
Winston went to Florida State,
exactly.
So he's already got a fan base in Florida.
Exactly. So why shouldn't they pick him? They had every reason to. Maybe there are some character issues. I'll tell you what I didn't get though. What was that tweet about with the crabs?
Oh, you don't know?
I didn't hear the story.
Oh, I'll tell you this story. What happened is he went into a store when he was in college, and apparently the guy at the fish part of the store that gave him a bunch of crabs and said they're free. He walked out of the store and he was arrested for shoplifting. And so that was a big thing. And of course, that's why last night, you know, they were celebrating and having crabs. So that was, you know, there was a real question about that because, you know, he was under the impression, and I think that's the story, that he was under the impression that he had been given all these crab legs for free.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that would have made another question because I remember years ago when Wisconsin players were given shoes and they got either suspended or there was some real flap about it. So I guess you can't even get crab legs for free. But that was the reason that he was arrested for, you know, going out of the store without paying for the crab legs.
Well, that's
but that was a joke. I mean, I thought it was
story. I didn't hear the story because it's been a busy couple of days. But I said to myself, you know, what's this all about? But I think he's a good fit for any team that has to rebuild, like Tampa, and they're going to build a team around him. I just hope they have enough of an offensive line to protect him. And it looks like we've got another caller, Pat. What's the scoop there?
Well, I don't know, but I'm not even going to answer it because I can't figure out how to do it and keep John on the line.
Well, John, are you still there? I think John's calling back because he got cut off. Let's find out, Pat.
Have you been cut off?
Okay, well, you know, it sounds like we've got another call from John, but, you know, has anybody paid any attention to any of the other sports? I wanted to give a quick shout-out for a New Jersey event that's going to be coming up in August. As you know, I'm a sailor. That's my passion. I am hoping to attend the Atlantic City Race Week, which actually will be a sailing competition.
Let's just see if John is back on listening. Are you, John?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And
August,
that's where I am.
6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, right out of the Farley State Marina in front of what used to be the Trump Marina, but which I think is now the Golden Nugget. Is that right, John?
Yes, that's correct.
Would be the one of the many Leukemia Cup sailboat races. I'm hoping to get down there to watch the race, although I don't think I'm going to be participating because my boat isn't in one of the classes that does participate. So I'm looking to get down to the marina. I already have one commitment from a sailing buddy of mine, and we're hoping to take maybe five or six people and sail down and then take another three or four out to watch the races. It's going to be right in front of the Atlantic City shoreline. The boats are going to congregate in the Farley State Marina, and they're going to race a seven-mile course just outside the Absecon Inlet, going south and then north. So hopefully the weather will be beautiful, the conditions will be good, and it'll be a good move for Atlantic City, for New Jersey, and also for fundraising for leukemia.
Okay, well, guess what, guys? We're going to have to play some commercials that we didn't play so we can get off right at 6 o'clock. And
before you do that, I need to leave because I have to be at a meeting at 6 o'clock here at Harrah's, Atlantic City. I just wanted to add a word to say I'm looking forward. I'll be catching some of the Red Sox Yankees tonight, some of the draft. Tomorrow we do it all over again with more draft, more Red Sox Yankees. And tonight's a very big game because you have CC Lafferty at 1-4. It'd be very interesting to see. He always seems to come up big against the Red Sox, and should be a great series, Bill.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I was listening to SPN in New York a couple of minutes ago before I was able to walk in here, and they said that Alex Rodriguez is chasing Willie Mays' home run record. He's got one more to tie the record. And for some reason, he doesn't seem to be hitting very well all of a sudden. John, do you think he's got the willies?
Okay. All right, guys. That's it. Sorry. We're done. See everybody next week. More of the draft. And one of the things that I think is great about the draft is you get to see people, college players, and then it's fun to watch them as they go into the pros. And, you know, this is the first time that at least I have ever seen most of these guys. Yeah. And so we'll be back next week, and have a great weekend, everyone. And just
have a good one.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Just before we end, I want to let everybody know about the weather. And John will tell you that this is the weekend to get up off the couch on Sunday. Great day, sunny, about 75 degrees. And, of course, if you can take off Monday instead of Saturday, Monday should be a high of about 78 degrees. And tomorrow there's only a slight chance of thunderstorms. And, Bill, we do have just a couple more minutes, or one more minute. So is there anything else that you want to tell people for the weekend?
Well, folks, it's going to be a great weekend to get up off that couch, get outdoors. You've all been lounging in front of your TVs, watching the NFL draft, the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA playoffs, some baseball, and probably even some boxing. I think it's a great weekend to find a new sport to get into outdoors. I know that for many people, exercise and getting into a sport is always a little tough, but never be afraid to take that first jump, and you'll be surprised how people who are into their sport love to share it. So get up off that couch and have some fun.
And we'll go to Rewind and see you next week.